When Uther dismisses him, there's a vague air of no time like the present in his father's goodbye, and so Arthur packs up his things and heads straight for the White Dragon Cafe, hoping tonight will be one of the days that Emrys chooses to come by. He puts on his reading glasses, opens up his laptop, and learns the information he's been given off by heart. It's all fairly standard stuff. Emrys' schooling, his political allegiances, any known romantic relationships. He's skilled at information retention, and it doesn't take long for him to feel satisfied he's committed all the details to memory, so he gets himself some coffee and a pastry and waits. He's so immersed in trying not to look conspicuous, only allowing himself to glance up from his seat facing the door every once in a while, that he nearly misses the moment Emrys actually comes in. It's around 7:30, and his eyes are tired from looking at his screen. He's beginning to wonder how long he should stay before he calls it quits, when he realizes there's a man standing at the counter that wasn't there a minute ago. He scans the figure curiously. The back of his head isn't much help, although the cut and color of the hair seem about right. He's got a coat on, so Arthur can't see if he's wearing a long-sleeved t-shirt or a scarf from this angle, but the black jeans seem familiar. Then he spots the fingerless gloves, and his stomach jumps slightly. It's him. As if the universe wanted to confirm Arthur's suspicion, the man chooses that moment to turn around and look Arthur's way. The photographs didn't really do him justice, is Arthur's first thought. In person, Merlin Emrys is much less shambolic-looking. The clothes are still the same, the messy hair is still the same, but somehow it works. The whole package fits together better. He seems taller, too, and he doesn't look as painfully thin as in the pictures. He carries his leanness well in real life. In fact, if he wasn't a magical and a target, Arthur would almost think. But he is a magical and a target, so Arthur banishes those thoughts before they can even begin to take root and drops his gaze back to his laptop. He thinks Emrys looks at him for a second longer, then he turns back to the counter and picks up his takeaway cup, leaving the cafe. Arthur takes a different tactic the next day and sits in a pub on the corner of Merlin Street, knowing Merlin will have to walk this way from the 76 bus stop to his flat. Sure enough, he appears at about 8:45, and Arthur watches him make his way to his building, noting where he keeps his keys, how long it takes him to get them out, how many times he has to turn the lock. Arthur hasn't decided how to take him yet, but he thinks that late at night outside his flat is the best option. If he pulls the van up at just the right time. It requires more thought. Arthur goes back to the cafe the next day and is pleased to find he's judged it right when Emrys shows up again at around 7:30. Only this time, he asks to stay in with his coffee. It's a small cafe and there are only a few seats available, one of which is at the very next table to Arthur. Arthur quickly minimizes any windows that might show any connection to Arkstone, then decides the whole laptop is too risky and shuts it down. Luckily, he has a book in his pocket, a paperback he bought in Oxfam earlier, and he quickly picks it up and opens it. Sure enough, like its fate, Emrys chooses the table next to him. Arthur tries to angle his book so he can subtly watch over the top of it. Emrys settles into his seat with the ease of someone who's been here many times before, placing his cup down on the table. He then rips open two packets of sugar and pours them in his coffee, causing Arthur to wince inwardly. Arthur never adds sugar to anything, and he's a firm believer that coffee doesn't need it under any circumstances. The next 10 minutes or so are fairly quiet, with Emrys sipping his coffee and staring into space. But after a while, he fishes a pen and notepad out of his pocket before shucking his fingerless gloves off. Arthur can't help but stare a little. There are two very distinctive bird tattoos on the back of his hands. Arthur's never really liked tattoos on other people before. He's always felt that they marred the skin, that a lot of the designs were tacky, that people just got them to try and stand out from the crowd. Emrys' tattoos don't make him feel like that. He's drawn to them. The birds look weirdly alive somehow, like they might suddenly take flight from his body. Emrys looks up and Arthur hastily returns to his book, embarrassed to have been so obviously caught out. His father would kill him if he knew he was making amateurish mistakes like that. He shakes his head and packs up his things. It wouldn't do good to linger any longer today. He's made himself too conspicuous to the target. He comes back the next day, aware that time is running out. Uther wants this done by the end of the week, and there are only 2 days to go. He waits around in a bus stop across the street until he sees a familiar figure get off the 76. Arthur decides to cross the road and shadow him, just to double-check which route he takes home. They're on Stoke Newington High Street when Emrys pauses to tie his shoelace. There's no natural way Arthur can stop, so he decides to keep walking, hoping Emrys will continue before he reaches him. He's within a few meters of him when Emrys finally straightens up. He has to bite back a cry of shock when the man suddenly whirls round to face him. "You're following me," he says bluntly. "Why?" Shit. Emrys is smarter than he looks. He opens his mouth to give some weak excuse, and suddenly a much better idea pops into his head. He lowers his gaze slightly, like he's embarrassed, and then looks up at Emrys shyly. "Sorry, I'm not very good at this, but, I'd love to go for a coffee with you sometime." Emrys looks completely wrong-footed. He opens his mouth and then snaps it shut again. "I didn't mean to follow you," Arthur says earnestly. "I saw you in the cafe a couple of times and I was just trying to work up the nerve to talk to you."
"No, it's fine. I just thought you were..." Emrys trails off. "Well, anyway..."
"Sorry about trailing behind you. I keep trying to catch up, but you walk quite fast."
"Yeah, habit of mine," Emrys says slowly, looking Arthur up and down.
"So, now that we're talking, do you fancy it?"
Arthur tries to inject the right note of hope in his tone. He is hopeful, actually. Getting Emrys in a situation where he trusts him, like on a date, would make kidnapping him a whole lot easier. Emrys still looks faintly surprised, eyes assessing Arthur intently. Then, unexpectedly, his face crinkles into a smile. "Sure, why not?" Arthur mentally punches the air.
"Great. I'm Arthur, by the way."
"Merlin."
"That's an unusual name,"
Arthur says, and then worries he might be overplaying it slightly. Emrys doesn't look suspicious. He just laughs. "Tell me about it. I begged my mom to let me change it to Jamie or Tom or something. School was hell." Arthur smiles automatically, but in his head he's already making plans. They'll have to meet in public, but if he offers Emrys a lift home after and he parks on some deserted street, he realizes Emrys is waiting for him to speak.
"I just had people singing the theme song from that cartoon Arthur at me," he says quickly.
"I'm sorely tempted to launch into it now, but I'll try and take the high road," Emrys replies, dimpling at him. It makes Arthur forget what he was thinking about for a second.
"Well, I'll let you have a free pass on our date tomorrow," he says, recovering himself.
"Tomorrow? Very presumptuous. How do you know I haven't already got plans?"
"You'll cancel them,"
Arthur says, and flashes a smile that has Emrys rolling his eyes. "All right, but this better be worth it. I'm talking unforgettable first date here."
"Oh, you have no idea," Arthur thinks.